This is a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors. The funk soul brother. Everybody in the club getting tipsy. The funk soul brother. Everybody in the club getting tipsy.
What does it take to be number one? Two is not a limit. Ain't nobody remembers. Tell me, what does it take to be number one? You better watch who you're talking about. Running your mouth like you know me. You don't come around and chill by the show. Make it call to show me. Why one-on-one you can't hold me. If your last name was Hayne.
Well, welcome everybody. You are listening to The Buzz on TalkStream Live. And on ztalkradio.com. I kind of got those backwards. Please forgive me, Scotty. I just happened to be looking over at the other screen to make sure that we are simulcasting. And it, what do you call it, Molly? A Freudian slip?
I guess. But either way, we're on.
There you go. And then that's what matters.
That's all that matters.
That we're on, and probably more importantly, is that people are listening. And you're listening to your favorite host and hostess for Monday night. You've got Kevin and
Molly.
Molly, this show we have been waiting and waiting and waiting for.
We have.
We've been talking about it for weeks now. And we've really, really pushed this show a lot because we wanted to invite the listeners to have some audience participation. And Molly found the perfect guest. Everybody, we're going to bring Vesta Abel on here in just a couple of moments. We're going to start a little bit early tonight because we want to squeeze in all the promises that we made, kind of like Trump, right, in his first 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
But guys, we're going to bring Miss Vesta Abel on. Now, did you know, Molly? Well, I'm sure you do because this is your guest. Your handwriting can actually reveal quite a number of personality traits essential to success. You can spot your level of self-confidence, and handwriting experts are able to see deep-seated fears, unconscious anger, and even self-sabotaging habits.
It's scaring you, isn't it?
It is, and that's why I'm hoping that we get a lot of callers and we have enough samples, because I don't want mine on the air.
Yeah.
Now, Vesta describes handwriting as actually brain writing. See, the adult's handwriting is formed from your conscious mind, giving an expert a glimpse into your thoughts. And here tonight, now, I hope everybody has done their homework. Here tonight, she is actually going to do handwriting readings. So, enough about us, and I'm sure you've already gotten tired of me talking. Let's welcome Vesta Abel to the show. Vesta,
yay,
welcome.
Hey, Vesta.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, right away, we've seen on TV and detective shows and CSI, FBI, and in fact, before I started doing show prep, I was watching, was it Molly? Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about handwriting? Tell us a little bit about your studies and what brought you here to this point.
Okay. Well, actually, it was a hobby I've had since I was a kid. My father was a graphologist, and he used to read my friend's writing before he met them, and he could tell me all about them, and it just fascinated me. So it became a hobby of mine as well. And then years later, when I had my own businesses, I would always look at people's handwriting before they would we would hire them. And it's not like anybody's good or bad or whatever, but if you want them to do a specific job, you want to have certain traits in their writing before you would hire them for that. Like somebody that writes really tiny is going to be somebody who's really detailed, and they have a great ability to focus. But if you want somebody who's going to be a salesman, for instance, then you want somebody that writes really large and has a forward slant to their writing. And it's amazing. In 5 minutes, I can tell you so much about somebody just from their handwriting.
Uh-oh.
And everybody's unique. It's just like their fingerprint. Each person is unique and different.
Well, what makes the difference, though, between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind when it comes to handwriting?
You know, over the years, you start as a little kid and you learn to write, and the more you write, it finally becomes subconscious. You're not really thinking about it when you write. But if you're going to change your handwriting, then you have to consciously do it. So that's the difference between, like right now, if you sat down and you just wrote a page of writing, you don't really have to think too much about how to make the letter or anything. It's you're pulling it out of your brain, really. It's just from habit. But anytime you're wanting to make a change, then you have to be very conscious of it.
And you can make that change within 21 days, correct?
Yes. If they do it, you know, consistently,
mm-hmm.
you do have to. It's like anything.
You have to work
like
on it.
The way you can really feel it almost in the brain, a habit like that, which I use this example a lot, is that if you move a trash can from, say you had it to the left of a desk, and now you want to move it to the right, you're going to constantly be trying to throw things away where it used to be, because that's a habit. And then you say, oh, yeah, I moved it. You know, so now you start putting it in the new place. So your behavior has to change because now you're trying to do something new there. And so the other one was automatic, and that shows you what, subconsciously you had created the habit and you kept doing it. But now we're going to do something new. And it doesn't take long, but it takes a while, and then you're on to the new path. And in handwriting, if there's something negative that I see in somebody's handwriting, we want to fix it. We want to help them because I want everybody to be successful. And we just have to be aware of what we're doing to ourselves. So.
Now, have you been called to work on criminal cases?
Excuse me.
No. And by the way, that's a different thing, like document examining, where people get called to a court situation. It's usually to verify whether somebody wrote something or not. You know, did they forge it, or is it the real person that wrote the signature? And that's different. When I'm looking at a handwriting, I'm looking at their emotional outlay and whether or not they're outgoing, whether they're an introvert, are they honest? They don't really look at those type of things. I mean, a graphologist can't help but look at that, but that's not what they're interested in court. They wouldn't bring up that side of the handwriting. They're only looking at whether or not it's authentic.
Now, having said that, how accurate is this practice that you do?
Oh, it's very accurate. I mean, they've handwriting analysis has been around for hundreds of years, and then there's so much research that's been done on it, and thousands of people's writing looked at, and certain traits just show up, and you know that that's what they mean in that individual. You know, from size and slant and shapes of the letter, it paints a picture. It's like a portrait of the person. But you have to look at every part of it to be able to accurately say it. And the way you can tell is you have a total stranger do their handwriting for you, and you start telling them the traits, and they verify it. That's how you know you're doing okay with it.
Well, I think it's pretty... I'm sorry, Molly. I just stepped on you.
No, I was clearing my throat. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think it's pretty cool, though. You said that your father would look at handwriting before you made friends with somebody.
Well, I mean, like, say I had a friend.
Uh-huh.
And I would get their handwriting. I wouldn't tell them that I was going to have them, my father, look at it or anything. But they would just write something, and then I would show it to them. And he would tell me their personality traits. And sure enough, he was right about it, and he hadn't even met them.
Oh, that is so cool.
Well, would he ever tell you not to have them as a friend? That
they
did not have good traits? Or
no, I don't recall that. I don't recall that. He'd just say, oh, this one's going to be... And he was really good, not only with the personalities, but he could almost tell what colors somebody would like.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was amazing. He'd say, oh, this person really likes red, you know, and I thought, wow, how can you see that? So he was even way beyond me in that, but I was just fascinated with it. So I knew there was something to it. It wasn't just one of those things, you know, it was like there's real truth behind it.
And you are actually a certified handwriting analysis.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. You have to go through the training. It depends on the person how long it takes or how much time they have to spend on it. I mean, you could get, if you did nothing but take the course and just study at it day after day after day, people have done it in a month or two. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have another job or you have other things going on that you can't just devote to it, it might take a year, 2 years. We've had some people that first bought the course 20 years ago and just finally got around to getting their certification. You know?
When they say self-paced, it's self-paced.
Yeah, it's totally self-paced.
That's good. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was just going to say, it's just fascinating. You know, it's just so much fun. I love it.
I think it is, too, obviously, because I'm just just so into this right now. I'm so excited. Our first caller, you've already had samples sent in, so I want to give heads up to our first caller, which will be Terry Ketty, if she would like to call in, and that number is 262-672-2488, and we can do your handwriting analysis on air.
Absolutely.
So we can talk until she calls.
okay, great.
Now, Vesta, me and Molly came up with an idea last week. You know, you were talking about how you can find out if somebody is compatible, you know, behavioral-wise or personality-wise.
Yes.
So how about this? Me and Molly came up with Vesta Date.
Vesta Date. Oh, I like it.
Vesta Date. Yes. If you want to know if that guy or gal is right for you, you just write out that paragraph and send it to Vesta.
Yeah, right. And then I'll be in the hot seat.
There you go. Well, we have our first caller on the line.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the buzz.
Hey, it's Terry.
Hey, Terry. Welcome.
I'm sorry. I'm going to turn it off.
Hold on. Okay. Right. I turned it off.
Yeah, because I'm annoying enough once, let alone hearing me in the background.
But you sound so good.
So, Vesta, how does this work?
Okay, well, I have her sample in front of me, and I wrote down notes of things that I saw in her handwriting, so I'll just tell you a little bit about her.
All right, thank you, Vesta.
Okay, well, first of all, you're a perfectionist, definitely a perfectionist. You like everything in order, And I would imagine everything around your home is pretty well organized, unless you're living with somebody who's not organized. but you would like it to be organized.
Yes.
And yes. Am I right so far?
You are right so far.
And I'm okay. I'm chuckling because she is my niece.
Oh, okay. And yeah, you know and that maybe.
I know her very well, yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know her at all. I've never met her, but I feel like I know her. I definitely feel like I know her. Yeah, because it's very well written. And plus, her writing is small, so she has the ability to really focus on things. When she does something, she's all in. In fact, if she's working on something and anybody around her is trying to communicate with her, she has the ability to really tune them out. Mm. And they'll probably say her name a couple times. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? And honestly, she doesn't, because she's so focused on what she's doing whenever she's doing it that she just kind of tunes them out. And I wouldn't say all the time, but quite a bit of the time, because once she gets into it, whatever she's doing, she's really into it. So she's super focused. And one thing I love that I see in her handwriting is that she's very persistent. She will not give up, no matter what. If she's working on something and it doesn't work or whatever, she'll work at it till it's working. That's all I can say about that. And she's has a good sense of humor too, I would say. And she's very generous. And she's got great manual dexterity. So I would say you're pretty good with your hands. And you can probably make things. And mm-hmm. you can take and kind of take things apart, put them back together. You can produce things. You're very good at that. And you're extremely expressive. So you're very emotional.
Yeah,
very emotional. You're as far to the right as you can almost can get. And wow. Often actors and actresses often have that slant because they're really expressive, very expressive. You don't hold back anything. You know, people know how you feel and
right.
how you think. Yeah, so Molly's laughing. Yeah, so and your T bars are pretty high up, which you know, in America at least, that's kind of unusual, because in school we were taught to cross our T bar in the middle of the stem, mm-hmm. and I hate that, you know, because I know what that means, and it means low self-esteem.
Oh, no.
So that's okay. The first thing that if I see it in somebody's handwriting, it's usually the first thing that I have them change in their handwriting, because nobody should have fear of trying things or doing things, and if they have a low self-esteem, you know, they always think they're going to fail at things.
Mm-hmm.
But hers are naturally, I would say the majority of them are pretty high up. So I really like seeing that. So that's good. And she does achieve most things that she sets out to do. She sets practical goals, and she, I would say you achieve most of them.
I try to.
Yeah, well, it looks like you do. And, yeah, so that's really great. And you're very honest. You have very clear communication with people. I think they should want the truth. If they're going to ask you your opinion, they need to be ready for hearing the truth, because you don't hold back. You're very direct. and you kind of tell it like it is.
Wow.
So that's good. These are great traits. I would hire you.
Oh, well, thank you. Is there any negative traits in it that you see or that I can work on to be better at?
The one, since her T bars are already high, so she has fairly good confidence there and all that, she has a couple of the Ys that she goes ahead and finishes it. In other words, if you just picture a Y where, the stem is coming down and you're creating a loop and it's going back up to the top. She has a few of them that kind of turn down a little bit.
Mm.
Right.
And so even though she does finish whatever it is that she was working on, she sometimes, we call it dejection. And what that means is, like, say she worked really hard to get a degree, and then she might never use that degree.
Mm.
Or
you might get, say you took on some project that you thought, I'm going to just love doing this and whatever, and you do it, and then you think, I'm bored with it. You may finish it, but it's not something you're going to continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen sometimes?
on occasion.
Not every one of your wives does that, but I would say you've got enough that it can be what we would call an issue sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So if I spot it 4 or 5 times within about 6 or 7 lines of writing, then I will say that is a something that happens to you a lot. I think you have a lot of interest going on. Maybe sometimes too many irons in the fire going, and so you probably get overwhelmed, and you can't always finish everything you start, you know. And then you kind of pick and choose, and you say, you know, this one isn't that big a deal to me. So you might let it go.
Okay.
But you are very disciplined, and pretty much. And like I said, you're such a perfectionist that I'll bet you halfway through some of them you'll go, this isn't as good as I'd like it to be. You know, because you like everything to be just so.
Yeah, kind of.
Yes, a lot. Yeah.
I can hear Molly now. In the future, she'll tell me, your wives are going down.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that, now, as far as the graphotherapy is concerned in this, and I always, if I'm going to have, help somebody to change something like that, for instance, then what I'd have you do is write nothing but whys. You know, take a piece of paper and, like every night before you go to bed, just write as much as you can before you get tired of doing it, but just making one why after another. But you would make it where that, like the descending part of it comes up, and I don't care how big the loop is or whatever, but just do what naturally comes to you, but have it come up and come all the way up to what we could call the baseline. And the baseline is where your small letters are, the bottom of where your small letters are, like A and E. And you want to make sure that stem comes up there to that all the way and then does not turn back down in any way.
Okay.
Kind of hard to explain it when you're not seeing it. But if you did that over and over and over again, you would find then a month from now, then it would be automatic. They would all do it because you would have created a new neural pathway in your brain that now that's the new habit.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
That makes absolute sense.
And then like I said, you would find that you really finish things, and on top of that, you would just quit taking on things that you didn't want to do.
Well, there you go. That's you become very fair.
Yeah, you become very aware of it, and also even I find a lot of times these people will be open to other people will try to get them to do things for them, and then it's mm-hmm. like you can't say no. But then you take it on, and then you feel frustrated because you don't have time to finish all these different things.
Right. I just quit my second job, so I'm going to start doing a lot of whys.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Great. Well, you're going to notice a big difference. It's amazing. And, that you know, with all of your other success traits that you have in your handwriting, you know, like the high T bars and all that, that's definitely a success trait. And also, your stem is, you know, what the stem looks like, and then where you cross it at the top is very long. And that shows that you have enthusiasm, and that's another success trait. So you've got some really good success traits in your handwriting. So the ability to really finish the things that you start and everything will make it even more. It's better.
Oh, wonderful.
So,
thank you, Vesta. I really appreciate that input.
Oh, well, you're welcome. My pleasure. You have beautiful writing, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
So,
all right, guys. Well, thanks. I appreciate the time and effort here, and I'll be calling in again.
Awesome.
Okay. Make great. Us. We want to hear your progress.
Yes.
I don't know.
You'll have to send in a paragraph every month.
Yeah, right.
Talk to Molly. She can give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Well, great.
Well, thank you, everyone. You have a great evening and keep on listening.
You too, Terry. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
So, Vesta, if I understand what you were telling her, is by correcting your writing, you're actually correcting a behavior?
Yes. You're changing, you're actually changing your brain, the behavior. And if you could see your brain lighting up, you'd actually see how, you know, it's kind of like a cable. You know, you have a thought, and then it goes somewhere, you know. And then you do it, you do whatever the behavior is, you keep doing it over and over again. In this case, she'd be changing her why. And that hand coordination and all that stuff that's going on there is building a strong neural pathway. The more mm-hmm. you do it, the stronger it gets. It's like a one thread, and now you have another thread and another thread, and finally you have a thick cable to where it's a full-blown habit. But you want it to be a good one.
I know that we had talked when you were doing mine about the, you know, carrying through with the why and stuff, but also, if you change the why, does that also help your other letters? You said something, I think, during some of your explanations, too, that like your N's or letters like that end a word would get, if they went down, it meant something. Now, if changing your Y, will that also change that direction on that letter?
On other ones?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to see exactly what it is you're talking about, but usually you have to change each one. Like an N isn't going to necessarily be affected by changing the Y, I don't think.
Okay.
And they mean different things. You know, they mean different things.
Because I know some people, you know, go down and other ones just abrupt at the very end of the end and so on. So I didn't know if that would carry through with that or not.
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. All right. Well, let's announce our next person and give them time to call in, and that would be Veronique Cochelle. Combuchelle.
Okay.
Miss V.
All right. Very different handwriting from
Terry. Yeah,
let's wait till she calls in.
To get in here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I understand completely what you're saying about neural nets. Every behavior, every activity creates a neural net. And
right.
Man, those things are hard to change. But you can see it happen on a PET scan.
Yeah.
Yes. And like I used to teach in training, the brain does not know the difference between what it sees and what it does.
Absolutely right.
So if I continue to, we have to look to write. So are we just imprinting those impressions constantly by watching our own writing?
Well, no, it's more the behavior that is affecting how you write.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's backwards.
Right. Now, once we make a change, we're deliberately making a change, then that's different. Now, you're going to affect the behavior. Where the other way is just how you are, you know, because of sometimes if somebody grows up in a very harsh condition or whatever, you know, they're starting to build their neural pathways based on, you know, their environment and how they grew up and how they were treated or, you know, all of those different things. And, you know, they can have a lot of deep-seated fears and things because if they had an overbearing parent mm-hmm. or a sibling that was rough on them or whatever, then that's going to affect them. And then later, you know, we grow up, we go out in the world, and then you start to change a little bit, but you still have a lot of that in you that, you know, was there as you were growing up. And you want to get rid of anything that are fears and things that hold you back, but then once we identify what those are, then you want to actually work on them and change them. And that's what's so fabulous about this mm-hmm. is that you're not stuck with any type of behavior. You can change it.
Well, we've got, I believe, Veronique on the line. V, is that you?
Oh, okay.
Hello, great. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hello. How are you?
Everybody? I'm doing well, thank you. And you?
Oh, we're having a wonderful time here.
Good. I'm freaking Lisa. Yeah.
So great. Welcome to Vesta Date.
Yeah.
Hello, Vesta. How are you doing?
Very good. Not here in, it's not sunny right now in Tucson, but we've been having some beautiful weather out here.
Good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have your sample in front of me, so I'm looking at it, and you write pretty large. And your slant is a forward slant, and that's the type of writing we'd like for somebody who's a really good salesperson, because they're more outgoing and they can tend to know what other people like. They kind of put themselves in their shoes, and so they usually make pretty good salespeople. You're also very independent. While you might listen to your parents, you don't need your parents' opinions or whatever. You don't lean on anyone else. You're very independent. And you do need some time alone, quite a bit of time where you can just be totally alone to recharge your batteries, because tend to get a little overwhelmed at times, and so you like that little bit of time to yourself to kind of recharge. Mm-hmm. And also, I would say you're more of a loner, and it isn't, you like people, you enjoy people, but you don't need people around you all the time. So there's a difference between that and liking people and absolutely having to have them around all the time. You probably do your best work alone. Mm-hmm. You like being alone to get things done, I think. And you're very honest and direct and creative. You're also a fluid thinker. So I see some creativity in your writing. And it does kind of drive you nuts when people kind of beat around the bush. You like them to get to the point.
Yes.
You say, like, okay, let's get on to it, you know. And you are a team player. When you do get around other people, you get along well with people and
yes.
And do very well. But at times you do get impatient. So, you know, you're like moving, maybe in your head you're moving faster or whatever, I don't know, but you do get along very well with people. So, and I see some intuitiveness in you, too. Do you find you get hunches and things?
Yes, definitely, for sure.
Okay. Well, I trust them, too. You're probably very good at it, and when you get a hunch, you should probably listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think you have a pretty good memory, too. Do you feel you have a pretty decent memory?
On the things that matter.
Yes, uh-huh. Well, the way we see that in the handwriting is if the their I dot, you know, is right over the I stem. And you do that pretty much. And then the other thing, which again is, where are you from?
I'm from France originally.
Oh, from, okay. Okay, because I was going to say, again, here's a second person, this very unusual to see such high T bars. And I'm thrilled to see it because probably 90 to 95% of the handwritings that I analyze from Americans, at least, the T bars way down. And it's because we were taught to do that in school. And they should all be at the top, not just a capital T, but all letter T's should be good, at least, you know.
Yeah.
High up.
We were taught, I was taught that way and not to cross the T's.
You were taught to what?
Not to cross the T's. We just have...
Not to...
Yeah, you just not like to, from the T, yeah, the stem, and then you just added just a dash to the right.
Huh.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that was one thing I was noticing in here. Oh, so in France, they only do it to the right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, that can show some impatience. That's what it means when it's only on the right. So we like to see it where it's well-balanced between the left and right, and some of yours are. But now that you mention that, I see quite a few of them that are mostly on the right. And that does mean impatience, you know, like they're, yeah. So, do you find that you're impatient sometimes?
No, I mean, I'm working on it. I'm not as impatient, but uh-huh. I've always done my T's that way. But I will be impatient when you beat around the bush and you just don't
Know
when to tell me.
Uh-huh.
The part, I probably get impatient with that, but... Other than that,
okay.
No, not as much anymore. But if you beat around the bush too much and just tell me already.
Oh, then it starts. Yeah, then it starts to really irritate you.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yes.
Uh huh. Well, but yeah, I think. Well, that's interesting because there again, you were saying you were taught to do that. Now, it still has that meaning in graphology of being impatient, you know, but I don't know, you know, with it being taught like it. See, normally that would be a natural thing. If somebody was really impatient, they would do that, even though we taught it that it's supposed to go through equally, you know, on either side. But you might try that. That would be the... only thing here that I would say as the thing to
to change, to try it and see if it, you know, makes you more patient, or because you have so many good things in your writing that, you know, I don't want to say, oh, this, you know, I don't see anything blaring that I think would be causing you a lot of trouble except for that.
Okay.
You know, because if you're impatient, it might cause some anxiety in you, you know, which is not great for the health. So, yeah, I would try that.
I don't think I've got anxiety.
No, no.
But, no, like I said, I'm just, like I said, I'm impatient with just keep on going and tell me the truth, and then just let's move on from
everything.
You know, that's it.
Yes. Yes. I don't blame you for that. So.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I didn't see your signature here. Usually I look at that, too. Would you say it's about the same size as your regular writing?
Yeah, Veronique. But my Q, I would finish my Q. So I would a Q, go back, and then go back to the circle, I guess, or the Q.
Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
I thought I didn't sign it.
Oh, okay. Well, mainly we look at the size in relationship to your regular body of writing. Like if it's larger, then you kind of show a little more confidence than you really feel, or you show real good confidence as, you know, you present yourself to the world. If it's tinier, then they are often more humble than they should be. So, yeah, so I don't really have that to look at, but I do see that you know, you're very, very fluid thinker and creative, so I think that's very good. So, I think, any other questions that you have?
No, I do appreciate it very, very much for the time and that you worked on my analysis.
Oh,
appreciate you very much for that.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Kevin and Molly, for taking my call.
Oh, no problem at all.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
And thank you,
V. Thank you. Bye.
Right,
bye-bye.
Thanks, V.
Well, Molly, how about we do this? You announce the next one, and then we'll go to our first news break. And whenever we come back, that'll be their cue to call.
Okay, Danny Lowe, get your fingers ready to punch those buttons, and that's 262-672-2488.
Awesome. Oh, this one should be good. This one should be good. So,
yes, we can't wait.
So everybody, just stick with us. You are listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com with our guest, Vesta Abel. Everybody, just stick with us, and we will be right back.
News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady.
We need strong programs.
President Trump alluding to his executive order on immigration during a speech at U.S. Central Command in Tampa.
So that people that love us and want to love our country and will end up loving our country are allowed in. Not people that want to destroy us and destroy our country.
Woo!
He had already criticized a ruling against the ban with a tweet referring to the so-called judge. The administration is appealing the ruling that temporarily stopped the executive order. Some big tech companies argue against reinstating it.
About 100 companies have filed legal briefs opposing President Trump's ban on people traveling here from 7 countries, including Google, Apple, Facebook, Uber, Netflix, and the president's favorite communication platform, Twitter. They say in their documents filed with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that the ban specifically harms them, as they have many employees now stranded overseas. But they also write that it's a departure in the fairness and predictability of the immigration system.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. The Justice Department has 2 hours left to file its latest brief in the case. Republicans in the Senate getting an earful about the president's nominee for education chief ahead of a confirmation vote tomorrow. Fox Radio's Melanie Wilkes live in D.C.
Lisa, Democrats plan to stay on the Senate floor all night, trying to sway one more Republican to vote against Betsy DeVos. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer calls her unqualified.
The nominee for Secretary of Education doesn't know some of the most basic facts about education policy.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell accusing Democrats of new levels of obstruction.
It's far past time to put the election behind us and put this president's cabinet into place.
Two Republicans have already said they won't support DeVos, making it a 50-50 tie. Vice President Mike Pence would cast the first ever tie-breaking vote for a cabinet nominee. Lisa?
Thanks, Melanie.
Fair and balanced.
Nearly 50 people shot over the past 2 weekends in Chicago.
A 15-year-old boy was gunned down at a park. Another 15-year-old boy was shot in the head while walking in an alley. A 27-year-old man standing near a parked car when he was shot and killed 19 others. Shot and wounded over the weekend. Last weekend, 27 people were shot, 3 died, and to date in 2017, almost 60 murders with close to 300 people shot. This just days after embattled Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel responded to criticism from President Trump, saying the city welcomes federal help in dealing with tackling crime. In Chicago, Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Health officials in West Virginia are responding to opioid overdoses by distributing more than 8,000 kits with an antidote funded by a $1 million federal grant. Needle exchange programs and police and fire departments in 4 cities will have top priority to receive the kits. A Pennsylvania woman's accused of writing a bad check and trying to buy something really big with it.
Police in York County, Pennsylvania are scratching their heads, wondering how a woman thought she could buy a home with a bogus bank check in the amount of $1.2 million. Authorities in Carroll Township investigating after red flags were raised by the fraud department at Members First Federal Credit Union. Police say Catherine Kempson created the phony check last month by using the internet to copy the credit union's business logo. The 49-year-old is due in court next month to face forgery and bad check charges. Pam Pusso, Fox News.
The lieutenant governor of Texas is asking state rangers to investigate a Super Bowl mystery. Where did Tom Brady's jersey end up? It went missing at Houston's NRG Stadium after Brady led the Patriots to a record 5th Super Bowl win. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says city police are already investigating. Now rangers from the State Department of Public Safety are on the trail, too. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
You are listening to The Buzz on the ZTalk Radio Network. Imagine the possibilities. Now back to the show with Kevin Thompson and Molly Spence. The best in alternative talk radio.
All right, everybody, we are back. You're listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And while we're waiting for Danny Lowe to call in to get his reading, we had a really good question off air. And Molly, you want to ask that one again?
Yes. Veronique wanted to know how you picked up on her intuitiveness. What was the key for that?
It's breaks in the writing. Like, say it's a word, the word love or any word, and it's going along and you're doing cursive and the letters are connected, and then one or two of them are not. In other words, it's a break in the writing. It's not continuous cursive. And in fact, often people who print, Although these days, particularly guys, I notice, print a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not writing that much anymore because we're doing email and, you know, we're on the computer all the time. But, and they tend to think their writing's so terrible that they start printing more than they,
yeah.
they
some
write.
Some jobs require that, though. I know my husband, who's an engineer, they require him to print. So that's what he does more of than actual script.
Sure, because they need to be very clear and communicate, you know, very well. But it's ironic that, you know, in graphology, it looks like they're hiding something almost, you know, when the letters are not connected. But I tend to print, but it kind of looks like handwriting anyway because I have a high, they go up high and they come down low. It isn't just like printing like a you know, somebody, a draftsman, for instance, where they're all the same height. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult to analyze. But you can do it. It can be done. You still see different traits in it. But you definitely see things in cursive that you would not see in printing. Mm-hmm. But when they automatically break up a little bit, they definitely are more intuitive type people.
Yeah. Well, okay. I print because cursive is for girls.
Oh.
Well, we have Danny Lowe on the line. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ken. Molly, how y'all doing?
I'm good, Danny.
Doing well.
A little worried.
Hi, Dan.
We're going to do this. I'm Zesta. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Great. Well, your signature is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I promised I would stay quiet for this one, Vesta, so I'm going to sit over here in the corner and shut up.
Okay. Oh, feel free to chime in, though, because it's fun to learn. So sometimes she might think of something that we wouldn't. So.
I mean, it's obvious that we know several, you know, most of the people that have sent in their samples. Otherwise, we wouldn't be chuckling like we are.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, I don't know.
We do know these folks. So.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, he's super smart, very smart, maybe even a genius. If wife's listening, she might not.
Yeah, I might have to pause this and get my wife on here.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, you're definitely, you think really quick. Ideas come to you really fast, and you also have the ability to really focus on tiny little things. You know, you're analytical. Also, you're very optimistic, which that also, at least at the time that you wrote this, your writing was going uphill, and we consider that a definitely a good trait to have in your writing. It's a success trait, and you're pretty good at keeping secrets. A person can ask you to, you know, tell you something and say, but you got to keep it secret. You'd be very good at that.
Yes.
How do you see that?
Yes. You see it in the O. It's a loop at the top. When you make an O, and then there's a loop. It comes down across the top of it, and they're very big in your handwriting. So you have secrets. You can keep secrets.
He has secrets, or can keep secrets.
Well, probably both. And you'll be very happy to know that I can't tell what those secrets are.
I don't know. You've been pretty on the money so far.
Okay, but yeah, I wouldn't know a detail. I just know that you're good at keeping a secret, you know. So, also, like I was telling, I think it was Cherry, you get really involved in detail, and you're really, you know, really focusing on things, and you also have the ability to tune people out. They just, you don't even hear them. You know, when you're working on something you're all in, and you just don't even hear them at all. And you're very good at investigating things. I would say super investigator, because you a lot of angularity in your M's and N's, and razor sharp. That's what I'm saying. You're really super smart, very smart and analytical. And I would say you finish most things that you start. It appears here that I don't think you take on too much. You take on what you want to finish. You do good with that. So that's very good. And the only, now, finally, I see one that I'm going to tell you to raise your T-bar up. The other ones so far already had them up high. Yours are at the level that where they, at least most of them, you have maybe one or two out of the whole sample that you sent to me that's up at the top. So occasionally you have great confidence in with something, but the majority of them are way too low. So then what you would do is, again, for 21 days straight, if you would take time, especially right before you go to bed or something, so you don't forget to do it, because it only works if you consistently do it. And you would write nothing but T's, just pages and pages of T, of the T, the letter T, and cross it at the very top.
Okay.
And just do that over and over again. And what that has to do with your self-confidence, you will start taking more risks. You will start looking ahead more. You know, it's a great one to have in the handwriting. Okay. You will be very surprised at yourself, even. Where right now you might think you might want to do something or whatever, but there might be a little fear about doing it. You know, sometimes there's a fear of failure in something, where this other will give you the confidence that you need.
Okay.
And you can change it pretty fast. It's amazing, you know, as long as you do it consistently. So that would be my advice, to do that. And another thing that I do see, too, is that once you make up your mind, and you make up your mind real fast, because things come to you really quickly, it's pretty hard to budge you.
Yes.
If somebody was saying, yeah, but I don't know. Did you think about this? You know, well, you've already thought about it, and you pretty much stick to whatever you know. So in other words, you're going to stick to it no matter what. Do you find that happens a lot? Yeah.
My wife called that stubborn.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. And I don't always say to, you know, you don't, sometimes it's good to stick to something because maybe you are right a lot of the time. But it is difficult in relationships. So a good way to do, if you know that you do tend to stick to something like that, if you want to call it stubbornness or whatever, is if somebody else brings up something and says, yeah, but did you know this or did you know that? It'd be a good thing to maybe say something like, oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. And then it makes the relationship much better. It doesn't mean you have to follow it or do it or change your mind, but it like clears the air. It makes it great instead of them just thinking that you're so stubborn you'll never listen to anyone else, you know.
Okay.
So, but maybe you're right 80% of the time or 90%, but, you know, but we're never right all the time. So it's always good to just be open to, you know, maybe somebody giving you some advice or saying something. So, let's see. Very optimistic, like I said, when you wrote this. You were very happy at the time, so definitely good.
I wrote that at work.
Oh.
So I don't know if he was happy or optimistic.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I hope your work is something where you have to really analyze stuff and investigate things, because you'd be awesome at it.
Well, I work for the Sheriff's Department, and I work in the jail with...
Oh, yeah. Oh, and at a jail, did you say?
Yes.
At the county jail.
Oh, so you're really having to... are you an investigator, like a private investigator or
Just, I'm an officer. I deal with inmates all day long. I mean, we do investigations on our own and stuff like that. If we find something, we need to find out who owned it, or if there was a fight, who actually was in the fight, who started it, who didn't start it, stuff like that. So we do our own little micro investigations.
Well, you're good at it.
Yeah.
I
trust his opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely has that ability to really, analyze. You're very analytical. And like I said, razor sharp thinking in there. So, but you just have to have more confidence in yourself, because you show that you're like have a brilliant mind, and yet you don't see that obviously in yourself. You maybe don't realize how intelligent you are. Because the low T bar, they never think that they only see their flaws usually. They don't see the great potential in themselves.
I agree with you, because there's sometimes where there's things in career and in personal life where I know I can do it, but I'm scared that I'm going to fail doing it.
Yeah. Well, see, the low T bar is, and what I feel bad about that is that was taught to us. I mean, what a terrible thing to have had that in the school system. But I feel that it was by design, that if handwriting analysis has been around a long time, like I said, and if you thought that you could influence a whole nation, whoever put together the curriculum, and if you wanted people to just, get in line and do what we tell you, wouldn't you, if you knew a certain behavior would come from a certain type of writing, well, I think they had that in mind. So some people just overcome it, because even if they were taught that way in school, they may have been raised in a family where, they told them they knew they could achieve anything they wanted to. Well, then that's going to overrule, and that kid, if they believe it, they will start to write like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if we were taught that way, and by the way, you would have been given a bad grade if you didn't do it like they told you to. Mm. So you don't take that on as a criticism for yourself, but the fabulous thing is that you can change it now. You can change it anytime. No matter what the age, or if somebody was 90, they could start raising the T bar and they would see the effects from it.
Awesome.
So, Danny?
So
just do that from now on. Just like I said, it's good to do a whole bunch of those, pages of those, for the at least 21 days straight. So you change that habit. And then rewrite, write a page of writing in about a month and see if they don't automatically go to the top now.
I will do that every day.
Okay, well, great. And like I said, your signature shows great style and sophistication. It shows a lot of creativity. It's great. And I can read it.
So, Danny,
awesome.
Here's what I'm going to do for you, Danny. I'm going to clip this section of this show. And I'm going to send it to the captain, major, and sheriff.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so. I'll tell him I did not know him before that. He didn't pay me to tell you that he's brilliant, but he is.
And I promise I did not front load her at all. This is the first time that we've spoke.
Well, I'm really curious, Kevin, because maybe better than myself. Was that accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And well, I would have
I
to
was
say that you.
Into this, but I feel pretty good about myself now.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to suffer from low T, Danny. We can fix it in 21 days.
Right? Yeah, there's no excuse. But just imagine what he'll be like with the high T bar.
Well, he might have high T might... then instead of low T, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be a rock star then.
He's already got two proofs of purchase, so
yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, I hope you do it, Danny.
Well, I appreciate it. This is very interesting and fun, and I will do that. And I'm pretty sure Kevin will hold my feet to the fire to make sure that.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of all those smoke breaks, you can practice your writing tees.
Yeah,
I can do both.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it. This has been awesome. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to be listening and taking notes for when my youngins come up so I can watch their T-bars.
Good.
Well, wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
Serious. That's good.
Cool.
I appreciate it. This has been fun. And y'all have a good night. And I'll be listening to the rest of them.
Awesome.
Okay, you too.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you. All right, Kevin. Molly, good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Hi.
So, okay. That was incredible.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you know him pretty well.
Yes. Yeah, we've worked together for probably about a year and a half, 2 years. And, you know, he's a regular listener, a regular caller. But, I mean, wow, you nailed it. I mean, he's very intelligent, very analytical. I trust his opinion when it comes to investigations. You know, he does not give himself enough credit because he's a wonderful employee.
Isn't that amazing? And like I said, because he really does show that he's got a brilliant mind. And yet he does not see himself that way at all. And it isn't that he's unnaturally humble or anything like that, because his signature is pretty bold and big.
Mm-hmm.
Which does show confidence, at least, and that, you know, your signature is how you present yourself to the world. So he doesn't look, he comes across as very self-confident and all that, which is good in public, and he needs to be able to give that, especially in a, you know, a jail situation, you know. He doesn't want to look weak in any way there. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the body of his writing, most of the time the T-bar's very low, but it's where we were taught to put it, you know, and that's not his fault. But, I mean, that's built in there, and he does have a fear of... He gets ideas, but then has a fear. But once you raise that T-bar, that behavior will start to change. Definitely will.
See, now you got me thinking about mine.
Couple that with being brilliant, well, that's good. So cool. Well, great.
Yeah.
So good. Molly, who's next on deck?
Miss Sherry Webb.
Sherry Webb. Oh, this is another good one.
All right.
So, now, what would you make of a person? This is something I discovered that I did when I really started looking at my writing. And I don't know when this happened or how it happened, but half cursive, half print.
Well, like I said, intuitive. Very intuitive.
Because I do that a lot, too.
Yeah. You're definitely getting messages and things.
Like when I wrote,
whatever when you want to call it.
When I wrote Sherry's name, I made the W, and then I made the E in cursive, and then the B's look like printed B's, and they're separate.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So.
Yes.
Huh.
I see. Yeah,
is that what you're talking
definitely.
About?
Yes, I don't know why I do that. You know, like somebody will say, "Okay, I need you to, you know, write this in cursive." Well, it'll be half cursive, half print because I don't know why. I just do that.
Well, it's because you're very intuitive, psychic almost.
Well, I guess
he's a medium.
Well, more of a 2X,
wow.
But...
Well, there you go.
Or a large, whichever.
Yeah, 2X would be good. But I believe we have Sherry on the line. Sherry, is that you?
Okay.
That's me. Hello.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Vesta. Now I'm nervous.
Oh,
you don't need to be. You definitely don't need to be. Again, very smart. You're very creative. You've got a fluid mind. I see these little figure eights in your handwriting, and you kind of have a desire to almost like be in charge of something. If you get involved in something, you like to head it up, and you're very organized. I would even use the term perfectionist in you as well. And you're writing small, but very neat and organized. I would say at home, you like to have everything pretty well organized.
No. Yeah, no. I do. It is my greatest desire.
Oh. I'm going to say it's so perfect.
I am a perfectionist. I am a perfectionist. But sometimes I just get to the point where it's like, forget it. And it's,
oh, well, you know, we can't always, and especially if you have somebody else around, you don't want to be the type that's so, you know, crazy. But you have a really, obviously, very organized mind, and you like things orderly.
Yeah,
and also you'd be very good as a teacher. You know, people who are organized usually make very good teachers in anything they want to teach. Because you have to have the ability to get everything organized in the order to be able to teach. And you definitely would be very good at that. And you are a team player, very good team player. And you can be in charge. I mean, you have things in your writing that shows that ability. And you know, you do have a few of your key bars that are up. But again, I would say... the majority of them are low T-bars. And I don't know if you heard, you know, what I had told Danny about that. But, you know, we were taught to do that in school, to put it at the halfway point. And what it means usually is that fear of failure, you know, that they won't take that extra step to go do it. Like they'll often stay in a job they don't like. You know, just because they figure, well, at least I've got a job and I don't know if I can get another one. You know, and they may hate that job, but they'll stay with it. Same thing with the relationship. They might stay in a relationship that's terrible for years and years and years and say, well, at least, you know, maybe he beats me, but I got a roof over my head or something like that. You know, they think they can't do something different. And when they raise the T-bar, be ready for change, because you just have much more confidence in yourself. So all these good things I'm telling you about yourself, all this, you know, you're an independent thinker, you're organized, and you're a perfectionist, and you have a creative mind, and your team player, well, this will just accentuate everything. It'll be the, you know, that missing link of what you need to really go way farther than whatever you've done at this point. You know, you'll have the confidence to do that. So I'd love to see you do that. That's the one, again, just like I told him, you do it, you write T's, nothing but T's with the T-bar all the way at the top, and just do that over and over and over again for at least 21 days straight. And we've known of people that wanted to make a change so fast that there was one lady that did it something like 2,000 of them a day.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to make a change.
That's brutal.
Not had anything else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she was just that crazed to make a change. And within 2 weeks, she... left her husband, you know, this abusive husband.
Oh.
And it wouldn't have been our advice or, you know, wasn't around, but I heard this story, and they said we really didn't want her to leave that soon because we felt like she wasn't ready. I think she had children and had to move out on her own and support them and all that. But she did it, and she wanted to make the change. She did it, and within just a couple of years, she had started her own business and was a multimillionaire.
My goodness.
Wow.
And this is somebody that, I mean, had all kinds of fears, you know, with the low T bar and all that. So it shows you this works. This so, absolutely does work if the person puts in the effort.
So I can see everyone making these teas. Everybody, all of our listeners, they're going to go home and make teas every night.
Exactly. I mean, that's one that definitely can't hurt you. That, you know, like we never mess with, we don't tell somebody to change their slant, for instance, because that's your real emotional outlay, you
know.
Momentum. And we don't want to change anything radically like that. But somebody's self-confidence, you know, it's very important to have good self-confidence and to be able to have the ability to plan ahead, take risks. You know, not stay in a bad situation. So anybody that's listening tonight that where I haven't had their writing to look at can look at their own writing. You know, everybody at home can, you know, do some cursive writing and look at where your T-bar naturally lands. And you can do a lot for yourself just by raising that T-bar.
But do you consciously change it, though, because you're aware of it now? Like
yeah.
you just
oh,
said,
yeah.
you know, look at your own writing. Well, now that I'm aware of it, I may place it there intentionally.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what we want you to do. Yeah, that's what we want you to do. And, you know, it's funny, when I'm doing a reading for somebody and I'll look at it, and then after it's over with and they write something, maybe they write their name or they do something and give me something, right away they're already very conscious of now their T-bar is higher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because right at the moment you've been talking about it and they're very aware and they're thinking of that. And of course they want to make that change. If somebody knows that's what they mean, what that means, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But then they have to continually do that, like I said, for day after day after day and with no break in between, because if you just do it for a little bit, it's like anything. We're very excited about something at the moment when we hear about it, but then you go back out into real life and, you know, everything that has to be done, and then they forget it. But then it won't work. You know, you definitely have to. It's just like if anything, if you want to learn to play the piano or you want to exercise to be stronger or whatever, it doesn't work unless it's consistent. So but yeah, they can do it pretty fast. It's
well,
amazing.
Well, Sherry, she brought up a really good point. Have you ever thought about teaching?
I have to laugh that she said that, because my aunt, I sent her a tablet, and I was trying to get her to understand how to use it, and it's very hard because I'm not seeing what she's seeing and she's not understanding. And the last thing she said to me before she hung up, she was like, "It's a good thing you're not a teacher."
Well,
I laughed and I was like, "Oh my goodness!" And I'm like, "Okay, maybe not a good teacher teaching electronics or stuff like that." But you know, I do like to help people, and I do, you know, like to, you know,
yeah, cause,
teach people different things.
Yeah.
I like to learn different things, really.
Trying to teach somebody the tablet, unless you're in the same room, that's very difficult to do. Unless you've got the same one, you know, where you're looking at what they're looking at,
well,
you know, and you say,
do it on Facebook, you know, where you could see each other.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was trying to get her to answer the Facebook Messenger thing so that we could see it. And she's just like, "I don't know where you're telling me to go. I don't." And I was like, okay, we'll try this another time. She's like, I'm putting it down now. I'm just very frustrated.
Aww,
so when you said that, I just laughed to myself. I'm
okay. Well, that's more about her than about you necessarily, because if you know how to do it and all, you know, but I find a lot of people. Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, yeah. She's 80. No, she's 78, something like that. So, and she's a very intelligent woman. She's like got a genius IQ. She really does. And she speaks like seven different languages, but, she's not ever had a computer.
That's just so foreign to her, you know. So, yeah. And a lot of, I notice that too, and I try to help a lot of elderly people with computer things, and it is frustrating because, you know, there again, and why does it confuse them and feel, and you feel it in the brain, you know, because they're having to build a new neural pathway for something totally different than they've ever done before, you know, and it is difficult. And you know, a lot of times they don't even have the desire for it at all. And yet I've met people in their 80s and 90s that are just awesome on the computer. But they were just that type of person, you know, they'll just work at learning it, you know. But I don't think everybody has to learn it necessarily, you know, if they've gotten by that far, you know. Maybe they don't need it, you know, we got by without them before, but if they really have a desire, they can do it. You know, it just takes a while.
And high tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a high tea bar.
Instead of high five from now on, we're going to go, high tea.
Right. It's high tea time. Raise the bar.
There you go. That's a good commercial.
That's it. Yeah, well, you know, that's what I named my business is Raise the Bar, because it means so much, I think, to have a high tea bar. So it's like, and when you hear that term about raising the bar, it really makes sense with that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sherry, was she pretty accurate?
I'm gonna do it. Yes, and I'm wondering about my signature and
yes,
the other little things that you. I'm waiting for you to say something else. So go ahead.
Okay. Your signature. The way you made your S is like a figure eight, and that's where I was saying you see the creativity and the with the way you do that. Those are the type of people that do make like a good radio announcer. They're usually they can go from one subject to another very gracefully, and they just have a very fluid. It's a sign of intelligence. Let me put it that way. And yeah, so your signature is very nice, and your H is very pointed. Again, that shows that analytical, investigative type mind. But you do also, it's almost like you have the best of both worlds, because your M's they have some pointiness in them, but then they also have the rounded. And when we see roundedness in like an M or an N, these people like to have all the facts before they make a decision. Even if they get they'll tune into something real quick and grasp the thought behind it, but yet then they'll say, you know what, though, I need more facts before I'm going to make a decision here. Mm-hmm. So I would say that that's something you do a lot. You do like to have facts. Lots of facts.
We're twins, Sherry.
Yeah, that's totally me.
Yeah.
Very analytical. I analyze everything, and
She said, said the same about me, so we're twins.
Okay. And you also do, every so often, you just have to have time to yourself. Again, just to recharge your batteries. And if it's only 15 minutes, take it, because it does so much for you. You know, it's like you get regrounded, or, you know, we all look at our cell phone when it gets down where it's, you know that it has no juice left in it, and you got to stop and recharge it. Well, it's the same way with the body, you know, and the mind. So take that time to do it.
I do for sure. And I am that way. I'm like, I just have to totally, like, shut off and, like, don't talk to me.
Because you want to get back to feeling like you're in charge again, you know, and it's good. It's very good.
Well,
and also, you're very honest, too, by the way, in your communication. There's no, it's funny because we can see lying. They're called liar loops in handwriting, and you have no trace of it at all. I mean, it's just very clear, clean O's. So that's great. That's great. Because that's a one that we do deal with and work with in graphotherapy. Not in any way to judge, because usually it was something that was formed in childhood. And they often had, like, at least one overbearing parent or something, and that just brought a lot of fear to that child, and they had to start lying to just to protect themselves. Mm. And so that's something you look at. So far, everybody that I've talked about tonight doesn't have that problem.
How do you, is it in the loop itself, or is it a hesitance or a divide?
The loops in the O. And when there are loops that are on the left side of the O, it's self-deceit. Like, they won't face up to things, you know, like, oh, they know they've got an issue. Well, sometimes they don't even know it, but sometimes they do, and they just bury it. Like, I don't want to deal with that, you know. But if you see the loop that's on the right side of the letter O or an A, then they will be deceptive to others. Uh-oh. And a lot of times it's not always that they're just trying to want to lie, but it's like they've learned to say what they think the person wants to hear rather than tell the truth.
Okay.
You know, like, they may think they're not hurting somebody by telling them, oh, yeah, you look great, you know, or something like that, you know. And then there's even another thing where you can have a loop on the left side and the right side, and they cross and create another loop in the middle. And that's those are done by people who are pathological liars, where there's no reason to lie at all. They just lie.
How do you do a loop in the on the left?
Well,
and the right?
It's kind of hard to show it or tell it on radio. But just picture that it's three loops inside of an O. And I have seen it. I don't see it a lot, but I have seen it. And, you know, it's funny because once I got to know the person that I saw do that, it's like, why did you even say that? You know, there's no point to even lie that way, you know, because it's like you can, you know, like somebody that would brag that they're this, or I'm a Navy SEAL, or I'm a, you know, and nobody would care, but they think they have to say stuff to make themselves look good or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, embellish themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I work in corrections. I see it all the time.
Yeah. So. Some kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, Sherry, I hope this was helpful for you.
It was. It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's funny that you said that, because just about everything that you said was conversations that I had today with people, you know. Just
really?
Telling somebody this evening, I was just like, I'm honest to a fault. I mean, that's just, I just can't lie.
You can't.
And I did stay in a relationship for a very long time, needed to get out, but I stayed. And,
A little fear? You kept fearing to be, you knew you should, but you feared doing it.
Yeah, I was I was worried about how I was going to make it on my own, and I did. I left many times to go back with, you know, I went home to my parents, and I really, it was a
it was kind of like a double-edged sword. It was like there was a little bit of fear, even though I'm a very strong person, and then there was like guilt. Like, you know, I just kept wanting to make the marriage better, or, you know, be obedient to God and all of those things. And
sure.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had the courage. And like you said, when you raise the T-bar up there, you'll find that you'll do things much sooner. You know, you'll start setting higher goals for yourself and say, well, I can do it, you know, and I found that people start seeing opportunity everywhere where they didn't before, you know, so that's a good thing to do.
Definitely going to work on that. Yeah, we're going to have high tea every day.
There you go. well, guys, great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Bye,
nice
Sherry.
Nice to meet you, Vesta. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Well, guys, how about we take one more very short break, and then we can maybe squeeze in one or two more.
Okay.
We're not wearing you out, are we, Vesta?
No, not at all. And you're up next.
Oh, me?
You should not have told him that, because he'll continue the break to the end of the show.
Hey, I've got 6 hours of ad council stuff here I can throw in there. Doggone it, I told the listeners they need to submit more samples to push me out of the show. So.
Too bad.
Well, I guess there's no sense in me calling in. I'm already here. So listen.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, guys,
I don't know if Vesta, if you still have my handwriting or not. I know you took a picture of it that day. You can go ahead and read it too if you want to. I mean, if we have time, but we're doing Kevin next.
No, boy.
Okay.
All right. I mean.
Okay. Well, everybody, you're listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And when we come back, I guess I'm on the grill. So so stick with us, everybody.
You like rare, medium rare, or?
I guess it's up to Vesta now. But stick with us, guys. We'll be right back.
Alrighty. I'll try to be kind.
Ooh, that's loud.
We have fun.
Yes, I didn't realize I was up next.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to do mine if you don't have it there, but I mean,
I'm just looking to see. I would have probably used that iPhone to get it. Do you have it in front of you by any chance?
No.
I can't say. You can take a picture of it and email it to me.
Let me run and see if I can find it real quick.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to check on here, too, see if I can find it.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Let me plug this in real quick.
I had that all together here, but I've got everything else, but I've got all the papers you gave me.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see it.
Shoot.
But you know what? I had to dump a lot out of my, because I've been taking so many pictures.
Yeah, no problem. Here it is.
Go ahead and send it to me then. Take a picture and send it to me. Then I'd have it right in front of me.
Let me do. That's scary. I don't know if I can get close enough. Now I'm going to send that through.
Okay.
Oh, should I do it on the through the phone number? Is that?
Actually, the email would be better. You know, the vestaable@gmail.com.
Yeah, you just put that. You know, if you're texting, you just put that in the contact bar.
If you want to text it to me, that's okay.
Thing we can to persuade just one more Republican to join us.
But DeVos will likely have the vote she needs. The confirmation of Senator Jeff Sessions to be Attorney General was postponed so he can cast a vote for her. And assuming there's a tie, Vice President Mike Pence will cast the deciding vote. Elsa Chang, NPR News, The Capitol.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was down 19 points, the Nasdaq down 3, the S&P 500 down 4. This is NPR News in Washington. Profits are down for Japanese auto giant Toyota. The company says its profits fell by nearly a quarter at the end of 2016. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports the loss is due to increasing sales of trucks and SUVs.
Sales were off for Toyota by about 3% during the final quarter of 2016. That may not seem like a big deal until you realize that the industry overall was having its second record year. Essentially, the market is weak where Toyota is strong, the sedan market. Consumers in the U.S. have turned to small SUVs and crossovers as opposed to sedans.
You are listening to The Buzz on the ZTalk Radio Network. Imagine the possibilities. Now back to the show with Kevin Thompson and Molly Spence. The best in alternative talk radio.
Alright, everybody, we are back. You're listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And if you were listening during the break, at least now you know what goes on behind the scenes while the news is running. So I apologize for that. You know, I was just so shocked and amazed that I'm going to be grilled. I got a little nervous and didn't shut the mics off. So, so there we go. Oh boy, so here we go, Vesta. I really kind of wasn't expecting this. I thought we had enough submissions. So tell me about me.
Well, I'm gonna tell you all the good stuff right away.
We'll be brutal.
You'll be glad to know that you do have good self-esteem, because most of your tea bars are way up at the top.
Oh, I have high tea.
You have them. You've got high T bars, and some of them, even though they're not at the very top, which I would say they're like half and half. You have some that are at the very top, and then you have some that are just a little bit below that, and that we call that you make, you know, you have very practical goals and you achieve them. They're not you know, out of this world, crazy dreams or anything like it. It's like you set a goal and you achieve it. But your high T bars definitely show that you have a very good self-esteem. So that's good. You have it. You don't have to work on that. Aren't you glad?
Yes. I don't have low T.
Right. Oh yeah. You don't have low T bars. I mean, there might be one in there, but you know, we do what we call weighting it. And in other words, you're giving weight to something, and it's how often do you see it in there? If you see it a lot, then it's an issue, good or bad. In this case, they're, the majority of them are way at the top, which is great. The other thing is, you know, basically, again, you're a loner. Not that, again, you like people. You tend to like a few people very much. You're not one of them that just has hundreds of friends. You have two or three people that you really feel close to. And then a lot of times you enjoy being alone.
Yes.
You know, because you don't, again, you don't need people. You don't have to have people around you. You probably like that time alone, again, to recharge your batteries. So, and your Y's are really healthy, too, as far as the ones that have a loop in them and go up and finish at the top. Like I said, most of your Y's are the loner loop, or loner where it just goes straight down. It doesn't have a loop on it. And we call that, you know, the loner Y. And you also have really good manual dexterity. I would say you can take things apart, put them back together, real good at things like that. And super fluidity in your mind. You're again, that's a sign of intelligence, really good sign of so you were glad to see that. When you sent in this particular sample, your writing was going downhill a lot and quite a bit. And, you know, if you wrote a page today and did that for a week or whatever, and it just continues to stay down, that's not good. We all have some kind of an issue or something we're working on or something we don't want to do or whatever, and we're kind of down about it. But if you see that for a prolonged period of time, then that can mean depression. You know, this person really is depressed.
Gotcha.
But if it comes and goes, not a big deal. When you first started, your first line that you wrote was pretty even and straight across on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you continued to do it, it started to go down maybe more and more. So I don't know if at back when you wrote it, you might have had something that you were having to deal with at that time.
Well,
so,
same as Danny, I wrote it from work.
Pardon?
I said, same as Danny, I wrote it while I was at work.
Oh.
And it
well,
was
I imagine you guys get depressed a lot because, you know, if you're in you know, that type of profession, it's not always the happiest circumstances there. You know, and you hear a
true.
Lot of things and feel bad about things you hear about. You know, it's not going to be, you know, real happy stuff all the time, I'm sure.
Yes.
So. Yeah, so it would affect your mood as well. So, but you just want to make sure it's not down like that all the time. You know, a good thing would be the first thing when you wake up is, you know, look for something that is something you can be happy about. You know, say, oh, this is great, you know. And it's the same as raising a T-bar. If you get up and you deliberately look around to see something, oh, that's great, you know. And it can't be the same thing every time. You want to look for something to be optimistic about. And then you start to be an optimistic person because you're trying to program your brain to look for what's happy or good or something wonderful, you know. So that works too. So you can try that. So but also it does show that your writing shows that you do finish what you start, which is great. That's one of the toughest things is when you don't finish things, it causes all kinds of things. Well, obviously in work, if you don't get things done, that's not good, but you do. Then another thing that I see in the writing there too is the way you make your K is really larger than your other smaller letters. It's quite a bit larger, and we call that a go to hell K.
a what?
We call it a go to hell K. And so, in other words, it shows a little bit of defiance. And you got me. I actually like to see it in the writing because it shows that a person, well, usually it's about somebody that they consider an authority figure. And they will be, if they do something, that authority figure that you don't think is right, for instance, if you think you have a better idea about it, you might tell them off or, you know, say, oh, no, I don't agree with that at all, you know. And so they're a little bit defiant. And it sounds bad when you say somebody's defiant, but to me, I think every person should always question anything, even especially if it's an authority figure. You just might have to modify it a little bit if it's your boss.
Well, you know? Yeah, my mouth has gotten me into some hot water on occasion.
Yeah. But that's how we learn and grow, you know, really. I don't think it's good to not have an opinion. That's my personal opinion, but sometimes we have to be willing to take the consequences of what we say, but I don't consider that a bad trait. I think that's good. So, yeah, it's all in how you use it and just being able to have a little control over it so that, you know, it doesn't get you into trouble. That's good. So, and your writing also is very tiny. And those, I imagine you're the same way, as you have a great ability to focus on little small details. And I'm looking at, right now, I'm looking at your M's. And looks like, they're pretty pointy instead of rounded. And again, you're analytical. You are very investigative. And
where's that coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely are good at investigating. You love that. You know.
I
you
do.
Love that kind of detail. And your O's are clean.
So I'm not love a pathological it. Liar.
No, you're not a liar at all. In fact, you know, you'd be the opposite. You would be more to, people might say, well, gee, you're too blunt and tell me the truth, you know. Well, so what? It's good.
Yeah, well, I'm more of a diplomat, so.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'll tell you the truth, but you don't realize I'm doing it.
Right, yeah, exactly. You're not doing it to be mean, you know.
No.
And the truth is always better, no matter what. And I am seeing a couple of what we call little resentment strokes. And we've all had something happen in our life that we resent. And if I do see it in somebody's writing, I always like to tell them, because a resentment stroke, it's obviously something that's happened and it's still in you. It's something you still think about. So the way to get rid of it, because it's hard to, in the writing, to do something that changes that, but I think it's better by through behavior. So I always tell people to try to change the story around whatever the resentment was. Like, if something comes to your mind, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll think back. Some people say, I feel like I've forgiven or I've forgotten about something, but then all of a sudden they remember something. So it shows you that the brain searched just like a computer looking for, oh, there it is. It's still in there. And it has a physical effect on us. They did a study of 30,000 people who had anger and resentment in their handwriting, and they all had cancer.
Yes, I think I've heard that study.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know how they always say about something that happens and people keep talking about it, and they'll say, oh, well, let it go. You've got to let it go because it'll eat you up. You know, it'll eat you inside and whatever. And it literally can. So the best way to get rid of it is to think of the whole incident or whatever happened and turn it into gratitude. And that's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, but it can be done. You know, if you look at it like, wow, that had such effect on me that it usually changed your own behavior in that either you said, wow, I'd never be that way, or I won't tolerate that, or it taught you a great lesson of some kind. So then you turn around and you try to thank that person because they had to be the bad guy to teach you that lesson. So if you can, and like I said, it's hard to do that, but if you can say, oh, thank you for what you taught me, you know, then it will start to go away, and you look at it differently.
Now, that resentment stroke, is that at the beginning of the letter or the ending of a letter?
I think it could be at the end, but in most cases, it's in the beginning, and it's a straight line, and it drops below the, your baseline. So it's kind of hard to say, but let's say you wrote the word cat, for instance, and you started with a straight line that was below your basic line of writing, and then you made your C, so it's almost like having a little tail on it, but it's not curved. It has to be straight down. Mm-hmm. And he's got a couple of them. It's not a huge issue, mm-hmm. but he does have it in there. So I always like to tell people, because I don't want to see anybody hold in something that might later cause them a physical disease, you know. Yeah. And, you know, we think we've forgotten about some of them, and we haven't. It's like it's still in there. If we had something bad on our computer and we hated it, we'd delete it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think you said that I had some of that on mine too, and I knew what it was, and I think I've corrected that.
Yeah.
Great.
I think I know what it
have
is.
Have you actually said that, like, thank you, or you taught me a great lesson, or anything like that?
No, I've just kind of forgiven the person for what they did.
Okay, well, that's not all.
Not in person, yeah. But, forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, now, have you noticed then in your writing now, is it still there?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Or if there is, it's very little. Yeah. But I'll let you continue. I'll let you continue with Kevin's.
That helps him too. That's good, because that helps him too. You've actually done it, and it hasn't been that long, so that's pretty amazing.
5 weeks.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, then you've already done it, and that's great.
Well, it was fairly recent happening, so, I knew I probably could derail that anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, wonderful. Well, and now one of the things that I told you all the great things about you in here. because he has all, like I said, great self-esteem, the good manual dexterity, all these great things in there. The signature, which shows you are very analytical, and I do see that in there. But I can't read I wouldn't have known.
That's what Molly said.
What's that?
That's what Molly said. She says, we think we have yours, but we can't read the signature.
Right. Well, I just was kind of going with the Thompson part of it.
I have written
the key come down, and that didn't sound right, but...
Yeah.
I could distinguish the P, and...
Yeah.
There was another...
The
T and the P,
and
the...
Yeah,
because I've written that damn signature so many thousands of times that I'm just like,
I know.
Oh, there it is.
I know why, you know, people do it. And it does show, well, his letters are really tall, which shows a great interest in philosophical, spiritual type things.
Holy smokes.
I can read that in the signature. And then, again, it's that, you know, very angular where it shows the, you know, that he does investigate, he's analytical. I see all that in there. But I think it's good to have a very clear signature, because when it is, it shows the desire to communicate, to show, you know, who you are. When you don't, when you can't read it, you often don't know how they're really thinking. Mm. And sometimes they don't want people to, you know,
exactly.
Maybe they have some reason. But I always think it's good. So we recommend a signature makeover. And for you to just write it just like you would, you know, you were signing something where they had to know what your name was, you know. I think it's a good thing to do that. But I can understand, I know that's what happens with doctors, that, you know, they're just in such a hurry, and they just have to almost scribble it to just get it done and move on, you know. But that would be one thing I would recommend, is doing that.
Okay, right. I can do that.
Yeah.
But oftentimes I don't want... I said oftentimes I don't want people to know what I'm thinking, because half of our job is deception.
Be. Yeah, and also, you know, when you're in a kind of legal thing like you're in, which I did see that both you and your partner there, that you do have to keep some secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I'm sure you see lots of things that you can't talk about, you know, and that's a good thing to have, the ability to be able to do that. And so that may creep into the, even the signature, you know, somewhat too. So, but just for yourself, I think
it'd
be good. But it shows a lot of self-confidence. It's large, you know, your capital letters are large, which that's good. So you do have lots of self-confidence. Even your letter I is, it shows a lot of self-confidence, and that's good too. Was there any issue with your dad? Like, was he not there enough or around as much?
No.
Like, no, he was always there?
Yeah, he's still here. Or, well, there.
No, but I mean, would you have liked more time to spend with him? Like you? Or did you feel you had plenty?
Well, he was gone my first year. He was gone to Vietnam until I was about one. But I don't know if that would impact me today.
Things usually things like that start in childhood. And so they just stay in there, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, your mother was more influential, I would say, of the two.
Yeah, very much so.
The way it shows up. Yeah. And while I don't see any real strong angularity, it looks like trying to acquire more from them. So it would be, usually it's time.
Okay. Well, I can kind of see that.
Yeah, so maybe that was in there. But anyway, I'm just so thrilled about your TiVo.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's the one that just about everybody, I have to get them to, you know, that's usually the first thing I have them change. Oh, and by the way, you do have the, you know, like several of the other ones, where you do need that time alone, too.
I do.
You charge your battery.
I go out to my shop and do little projects and stuff, and it's just me and Alex Jones. So.
yeah, I'm good. I love his show. Yeah.
But,
yeah,
well,
you need that time alone to, you know, like turn off the noise of, you know, whatever you're used to having to do.
Yeah,
you know,
the living and the dead, both. So.
Yeah. I'm sure it's really good, and, you know, for you to do it. So, and you do have a touch also of the, you know, once you make up your mind, you pretty hard to budge, too.
Yeah, I am stubborn.
I do see that trait in there, too. Yeah, yeah. And so the same advice I gave the other is just that, you know, if somebody says, yeah, but did you know about that or what, you know, to just always be open to, oh, okay, yeah, it's a good point. I'll think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it just helps in relationships. It doesn't mean that, you know, because if you're right, you're right, you know, and you got to stick to your own thing, even if it does look like you're stubborn, because you don't want to just, you don't want to be wishy-washy either, you know. But on the other hand, it just helps in relationships that the other person felt like they got heard and you're going to consider it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Vesta, you have nailed me. You've pinned me to the mat. Before we close, because we are quickly running out of time. We say this every doggone week. We need a 3-hour show back.
We do.
But,
okay. But
I know we could go on all night with this. I
would love to. Now, how can somebody get in touch with you and maybe procure your services?
Well, they could email me if they would like to do that. I also have a website that's called raisethebard.com. that they could do. But my email is my name, Vesta Abel, and it's spelled A-B-E-L, V-E-S-T-A-A-B-E-L @gmail.com. So they can, like I said, people can do their writing and then...
Uh-oh.
What happened?
I don't know.
Hang on, let's see if we can get her back. No, she's still there.
Well, it's after 10. Did it cut the show off?
No. No, and we're still encoding. Did her phone run out?
I don't know.
You want to text her real quick?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. Meanwhile, while we're still on the air, that was VestaAbel@gmail.com.
Yeah, she is gone, and we don't know what happened.
Yeah, right in mid-sentence.
Everything just went dead all at once. But we, again, apologize for that, but I think it was an awesome show. I really love what she does, and I'm so interested in this and hoping to take one of her courses when she gets it together. And
yes, and,
but yeah, we got another one that we're gonna have to top now.
Yes, we're gonna have to we are definitely gonna have to have her back on too.
Yeah,
but well, Molly, it's after 10 o'clock.
I know,
you know what that means.
We snuck by that guy tonight for a little bit.
Yes, yes, we did.
Yeah.
So, well, everybody, you have been listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. Don't forget, you'll have to join us again next Monday night at 8 p.m. Central right here Vesta, do we have you back?
I don't know.
I tell you, it's that low T. But anyways, everybody, we are here every Monday night, 8 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. We also simulcast on TalkStream Live, so we give you plenty of options to use. But as for tonight, good night, everybody.
Have a good week.
Thank you. This has been a production of the Z Talk Radio Network.